At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome, everyone. You are tuning into Engaging Walk. My name is Drake.
And my name is Ruby.
We believe in the power of walking together and talking together.
There's a simple act of staying connected, and movement is key.
This week, we will discuss the concept of familial problems.
And how you and your significant other can have time to make deep connections.
So this week, we took a walk up in Escondido, California, which is about 45 minutes north of San Diego. We doing a little bit of house hunting, looking at the market up there. And so we took a walk, took an engaging walk with, of course, Boba. She has not been able to leave our side since we got her. And so that was really fun. Mm-hmm. It was a really fun experience to do some house hunting. For those of you out there in the market in California, we feel your pain. And if you're looking for house elsewhere in the country, you probably don't know our pain. So be glad that you are where you are for that purpose. All right, so this week we're going to be diving into the content of familial problems or problems with your families.
Yes. So let's talk about the common familial problems that you may see. Now, the reason that we talk about this because during courtship. Yeah, there you go. Courtship, I discovered there are more things on the table that I have not looked at, which are like, how do you deal with in-laws? Are you talking to your friends after your marriage? How all the shifting, you know? So that's why we want to look into the common familial problems. So one of the things that I feel like is very common is that your in-law want to be involved in the decision-making in your marriage, which is understandable, like where I'm coming from, which is Asian culture.
Yep.
Where, you know, it's understand that respect your in-law or your parents when you take in their input in your decision making. But now it's gonna a little bit different, a little bit shift when you are in marriage, because you no longer a single person and you no longer under the roof, you know. Now you have a covenant with another human, which is your husband or your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And for me as a believer, the scripture said that, you know, we become one. So now I get to make my decisions with my husband or my wife, you know?
Yeah. So the tradition is that the father gives away the daughter to the husband and basically saying like, hey, she's yours now. She's not under my roof anymore. She's under yours.
Yeah.
She's yours to take care of. And, you know, I think a lot of times, like, there might be, like, a misconception of, like, almost like what they call, like, toxic masculinity around that. But that's not thinking about that correctly, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that that's not a responsibility to take lightly. If you're the man of the house, in this case, you're the husband, and you're taking another man's daughter and you're saying, I will take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to boss her around. I'm not going to tell her what to do with her life. You know, we're going to live our life together, but ultimately I'm responsible for her.
Mm-hmm.
She's responsible for herself, but I have a certain level of responsibility to take care of her.
That's right.
Not just because of the fact that I swore like a vow to do so, but at some point she's going to be pregnant, you know, at some point she might have, you know, reasons why she can't work. And that's my responsibility to go out there and to work and to provide for her and for the family. So that's not something that we take lightly, but that's like the root of that is the husband, the father gives away to the husband.
Mm-hmm.
And now we make the decisions together. Do they have input? Yes. Is it the same weight as the spouse? No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And then Greek culture, where my family's from, is very similar to Vietnamese. There's actually like a scary amount of different similarities between Vietnamese and Greek culture. So That's something that we wanted to highlight here because, like Ruby said, that there's a that's something that you might not take into consideration when you're getting married, that you're also getting married to that person's family. So that's one thing that you might want to start thinking about, and especially in terms of like the language. So you want to stop thinking about, oh, that's your family. My family, we do this.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get rid of that, like,
that's
really.
That's right. I think that's very important.
You want to get rid of that, like, as soon as possible, because there's no more your family and my family. There's just our family.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, that's again, like earlier with that concept. You want to really be, if you're married or if you're about to get married, you want to think about that moment very carefully, that you're taking another man's daughter.
Yeah.
And you are saying, yes, I will take care of her. I will love her and I'll honor her and I will do everything in my power to make sure that I'm a good husband.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very powerful, and it's a lot of responsibility to carry, but ultimately it makes you a better person.
Yeah. And then another, I'm going to jump back on to like the common problems that we usually face is as for, you know, a wife, they usually say like, oh, your relationship with your mother-in-law will be like hectic, you know, chaotic. But I think it's a mindset, you know, like how do you want to approach it is up to you. So if you prepare your mind that it's hectic, it's chaotic, it's not pleasant, then it's gonna happen like that. So for me, I think I would just want to break that off. I'm like, nope, I'm going to have a really nice relationship with my mother-in-law. And guess what? She's my mother. So why not? You know, why don't we have a good relationship? And I think it's like it reflect back to become a powerful person. Like, yeah, I don't have the power over the thought, the emotion, the action, but I in charge of my thought and my emotions and my action. So being intentional to love on the mother-in-law and, you know, reach out to her. And she's not with us. She lived in Europe. So being intentional to, you know, to reach out to her, to talk to her and connect with her. Mm-hmm. And I think that will just send a message like, hey, I really want to get to know you. And I think like family, we don't get to choose them. You know, I was born into my family. And so it's kind of crazy and interesting to look into like, hey, when I marry Drake, I get to have extension, a lot of more people in my family, it become my family. Yet I don't know them well, but hey, I have a strong bond with them because now they are my family. So I think it's about mindset. And I think we need to like have a healthy mindset on that as well with our in-laws. Like, hey, this is my brother. I get to know him. I don't know much about you, you know, the brother-in-laws, but hey, I love to know more about you, you know, and I want to know how your relationship between you and Drake and how you guys grow up together and, mm-hmm. you know, the memories and all the good stuff, you know? So, and I think that a shift in the mindset will help a lot. And also a lot of people say like, oh, when I marry that person, I'm scared that, you know, that person will just box me in and I not get to, you know, live the single life I used to live. Not like I cannot talk to my family the way I used to, or, you know, it just cut off all my freedom. What do you think about that?
Yeah, there's definitely a balance. Well, on one end, you can have the spouse who takes away their, you know, their, let's say if you're the husband and you take your wife away from her family and you mm-hmm. don't allow communication, or you don't allow them to come over for her family to come, you know, her side of the family to come over for Christmas or holidays and things like that. And you're perfectly fine with your family being involved. Well, obviously that's wrong, but that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't, that's not healthy because that's like, being possessive, I guess, is one way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
And we don't possess our spouse. They are their own person. But we are one. So
yeah.
The other end of that is that you don't want the other that your spouse to be like involved in everything, like, or having like the overall say in everything that happens in the marriage with their family. And then the other spouse is just like kind of taking a passive role and just like along for the ride. That's not good either. So just being like a hermit crab, like little, you know, spouse, like a marriage where you're just like the two of you, and then, you know, being both situations, you're powerless. Both situations, you're not connected. And then in another, the other scenario with the other spouse is just like, just there. They're like art.
The flower in the wall.
It's like the flower on the wall, not involved in anything. And unfortunately, these things do happen. Mm-hmm. But we shouldn't set out for those to happen. And if they do start to tend to make those tendencies, mm-hmm. then we want to address them.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, babe, I love you, but you're the love of my life and we're married. You and I are a family. But what is wrong with my family, or what's the issue of me having my family over for Thanksgiving? And there should be a back and forth, you know, of discussing that, because, you know, you don't want to cut them off from their family. That's not right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you also, you know, you have your own family to run. So you have to have that balance, and you have to have those conversations, and you have to think about like what's fair, and you have to have conversations, not just about those events, mm-hmm. but also about the worst case scenario things that can pop up.
Ooh.
Like how are you going to handle elderly parents, infirm mm-hmm. parents,
mm-hmm.
and how are you, like, what are your traditions? I know in my family we're, you know, Greek, and it's very similar to the Vietnamese culture where we don't really allow our elderly parents to just fend for themselves.
Yeah.
We take them into our home. And we don't allow them to go to nursing homes. That's not a thing in Greek culture.
Yeah. And so that before that happened, you know, like my parents are growing old. So this is the topic that we're going to discuss with each other very soon, and how we're going to take care of them. And like I shared before, you know, family, suddenly when you marry the person, it depends on how much time do you spend with them before marriage. Like, how well do you know them? So if you, let's say you just get to know them, you know, few years, and it's not that deep level of connection, and then suddenly they become your family members. Now, I think that's the art of the other person, to how you bring them into your family. So like for Drake, since my family only get to know him, you know, right before our marriage show, and then they don't speak English. So it's kind of hard for him to get to hold a conversation with my parents. So I will be the one that, you know, like drag him in. Not drag him in, but involved him in a conversation, teach him Vietnamese phrases. And for him on his end, he loved learning the language. He tried to remember every single thing. So
it's really hard because I grew up speaking Greek and Spanish because my other side of the family is Cuban. And so I grew up with like three, and I'm not very good at languages. Like, I had to like, you know, really like study, and I had to like really make an effort to learn Greek and Spanish, you know. So, but my Spanish and my Greek like really aren't that good anymore. And I'm 36 now. So when Ruby's like,
have to discover my,
when Ruby's teaching me Vietnamese, I make a really good effort to try to remember. You know, but it's very challenging.
Yeah. So I think.
And then like the sentence structure is like really, really interesting, because there's honorifics.
Opposite.
Yeah, and there's a lot of honorifics. There's a lot of like how you say like, how are you is very different from, you know, if the person's older than you than if they're, mm-hmm. and they're a male versus if they're younger. Female. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Yes.
We're all about honoring, respect people. So go back to the, you know, the how to manage a conflict. I think as the other spouse is the middleman, you know, like to connect, to bring, find all the, you know, opportunities for to, so that your spouse get to know your family and become their friends.
Yeah.
Like become, make it more fun. And
then also to make sure that your family understands the boundaries.
Yes.
To be like, hey, you know what? I love you, bro. But that suggestion that you had is not really like something that I appreciate about, you know, that's not, you know, for example, let's say if your brother is like, hey, let's go to Vegas and party this weekend, you know, mm-hmm. and they're really pressuring you. You know, and they're like, oh, but your wife won't let you do it. No, it's not a matter of my wife won't let me do it. It's a matter of, like, we have responsibilities and we have things that we got to do. Mm-hmm. And I can't just up and go to Vegas and party with you during this weekend. It's not my wife's fault. Don't pin that on her.
Yeah.
Just as an example, that didn't happen to me and my family, but that does happen. And when you get married, you have those echoes of single life popping back up.
Yeah.
But from your single friends that are still in the single land. Hey, come party this weekend.
Yeah. And I love the way that you mentioned, like, if something, any voice around your marriage and voice in and to target a single person, either your spouse, I'm sorry, either your wife or your husband, your job is to say, hey, remind them, like, hey, we are one. This, don't target the other person. We're going to make this decision, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's like, it sounds like, hey, it's a teamwork. It's a team. You don't attack one, you know, person in here.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, you have to remind those people, hey, I'm not making decisions for myself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making decisions for two people now.
And it's not like they intentional doing that. Maybe because, you know, it's just a new stage that they,
yeah.
Not just you learning, you know, a new thing. They have to learn that as well. So be graceful and just remind them, hey, thank you for letting me know that. But hey, we are the team and we're going to make decisions together.
Yeah. And then the last thing that we want to discuss before we go into the assignment for this week is how beautiful it is to unify your families in the act of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It was so wonderful having our families together for our wedding.
Yeah.
It was like, so for me, we both live in San Diego and then my family is all on the East Coast mm-hmm. of the United States. My mom goes back and forth between Europe and the East Coast of the United States. And then Ruby's family is from Vietnam.
Yeah, he flew all the way in.
My family flew all the way in, and we had a huge party for our celebration, for our wedding, and it was so nice to see them all together.
Yeah, it was fun to get to know different cultures, but at the same time, we share so many similarities.
Yeah,
which is a surprise.
Yeah, like no one speak like we're like there's no like no one speaks the same language. But we still had a great time.
I think we should talk about that, you know, in the next episode in the future.
Yeah, it's very surprising. You know, it's one crazy thing is that in Greek culture, we wear the wedding ring on the right hand.
Yeah.
On the ring finger on the right hand. And what's crazy is in Vietnam, they do the same thing.
Yep.
The same hand, same finger.
That's why we cause a lot of, you know.
A lot of confusion.
Confusions when we were wearing the wedding ring on the right hand, because people were looking on my left hand and they see no ring, but they see, you know, the wedding ring on the right hand. So like, wait, are you married or not?
Yeah. So I think when we were like getting the rings or like when we... Yeah, like or like around. Yeah, we're cleaning them. We realized like, oh, our family traditions are the same.
Yeah.
That we're supposed to wear it because we were initially wearing it on the left hand, and then once we realized that like our family traditions were the same, then we switched over because it was so interesting that there was that overlap that we decided not to ignore it.
Yeah.
So it's a little. So if you ever see us with our wedding rings on that hand, it'll make sense now.
Yeah, and I have so much fun to remember that I think the whole family danced together, your family danced together, and then you guys do, actually you doing certain movement when you like kind of like cleaning the sole of your shoes, but actually it's meaning something. I was like, what are you doing? You know? Yeah. It was funny. Yeah.
Okay, there's a lot to get into. I know we've covered a lot of heavy topics lately, so we're going to try to make a transition and discuss a very light and fun topic next week. So we'll get into that, but right now let's just talk about this assignment. So what we want to do, or we want you all to do this week, is to be clear with yourself and with your significant other, your spouse, whomever, and this be very clear about how you're going to handle familial problems in your relationship. What are the expectations?
Mm-hmm.
And discuss what you would do in your family's worst case scenarios. For example, the things we discussed earlier, your in-laws moving in, inheritance disputes. How are you going to handle, like, if, you know, this might be helpful for you to think about in general, like if, hey, what happens with this property? who is this property going? Like, if this person gets this property, how are you going to handle that? And then also, what to do when your parents retire and need care.
Yep, that's very important.
Also, like, have that discussion. Ruby and I had the discussion a long time ago, but that's something that we're going to need to revisit as time goes on and, you know, situations change.
Yeah.
But definitely have those conversations and be mindful about each other's traditions and what you would like to see. And just be open and honest about it.
Yeah, and sometimes just the last one, like sometimes, you know, parents coming in and share and just remind them like, hey, we respect you, but just remind them, hey, I'm married to this person and I, you know, I'm confident with the person. So I'm going to discuss with the person first and then come back to you.
Yeah. It's probably one of the best lines of being married. Let me check with my spouse and I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
It gives you so much breathing room. Do not ever be afraid to pull that card. Because everybody immediately understands. They're like, oh yeah, you have a spouse? Gotcha. Let me give you that space so you can make that decision together. So you feel at least a slight little bit of pressure. You're like, oh, let me get back with my wife and talk to you.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so that's our assignment. And, you know, again, we've been super thankful. We're super thankful with all the people that are tuning in. We thank you guys for tuning in this week with us, and we hope that you can take our engaging walk that we had and make it your own.
And stay tuned for the next week episode when we will discuss about raising our puppy, Boba the Corgi.
Yep, and don't forget to click the follow button, subscribe button, and check us out on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and we have engagingwalk.com for more information. This is Drake and Ruby with Engaging Walk, and we are...